Tonight, we're tracking a major weekend winter storm sweeping across the country. Snow, dangerous winds, alerts already at this hour from Colorado all the way to New York. Two dozen states under those heavy snow and wind alerts, gusts up to 80 miles per hour expected. And the stunning video tonight showing a truck falling off a freeway, crashing onto cars below. And then this hits the Northeast from Washington, D.C. to Philadelphia, New York to Boston. What's coming right behind it all as well? Rob Marciano standing by to time this out. The economy tonight, and there is news on gas prices and on jobs. The new numbers, gas prices falling, and what they're now predicting by Christmas. And the new jobs numbers tonight, wages going up. And President Biden signing the bill averting that potentially catastrophic rail strike. Mary Bruce live at the White House. Also tonight, the newly released body camera video showing the moment a police officer opens fire, killing a man carrying an assault rifle in Austin, Texas. Security video showing him firing at a home. Police say he ignored the officer's demand to drop his weapon. Tonight, the new message from Kanye West and why this time even President Biden stepping in now, fiercely denouncing it, and the alarming rise in anti-Semitism. What was said and what the president is now calling on all leaders to do. John Carl with us tonight. The cruise ship and the deadly rogue wave. The State Department tonight saying an American woman was killed. Multiple injuries, the wave broadsiding the ship, breaking windows, flooding rooms. The war in Ukraine tonight, Russia launching new airstrikes, slamming apartments in Ukraine's second largest city. Video online showing police and civilians wounded by a grenade after finding explosives in the trunk of a car. And tonight, the Kremlin now responding after President Biden said he would be willing to hold talks with Putin under certain conditions and if it meant an end to the war. What the Kremlin is saying about that. Also tonight, Prince William with President Biden and the welcome to the Kennedy Library in Boston from Caroline Kennedy and two of her children. And news coming in tonight involving the big Team USA soccer match tomorrow. You will hear from two of the American stars. And will that star player who scored the winning goal and then rushed to the hospital, will he play tomorrow? News tonight on the other team, what they've now revealed and why they're so concerned about the game. The big news on the World Cup tonight.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us. We're almost to the weekend, but a busy night of news. First, the weekend storm crossing the country tonight. Two dozen states under alerts, Colorado to New York. Heavy snow, dangerous winds. In fact, they're expecting gusts up to 80 miles per hour. And the images already from the west tonight in Santa Clarita, California. Look at this. A semi-truck falling off a highway in the rain, crashing onto cars below. A major landslide in Astoria, Oregon, part of Highway 30, will be closed all weekend, they tell us. Extreme wind and heavy snow hitting the west in the last 24 hours, part of the system, including Chester, California in the north, a second round on the way. The winds reaching 106 miles per hour, flipping trucks. These images from Colorado Springs. And whiteout conditions on I-70 in Colorado, effectively closing the interstate on the Loveland Pass. And then into tomorrow, we're tracking it all. Heavy rain and fierce winds from Washington, D.C. up through New York City and Boston. And, of course, the big chill behind all of this. Senior meteorologist Rob Marciano leading us off on a Friday night. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. You can see what a high-impact storm this has been throughout the West, and most of that energy is going to get over the Rockies in the form of wind. We still have wind alerts and wind warnings across the high plains, 60 to 80-mile-an-hour wind gusts. We've already had a litany of those, but wind advisories across the Heartland, the Great Lakes, and all the way into upstate New York, 40 to 50-mile-per-hour winds with this. All right, the low is coming out of the Rockies, still snowing there, and a little pulse of snow for the upper Great Lakes and the upper Midwest, just a couple of inches. I think this front really picks up the moisture once it hits the Mississippi. And we'll look for the rains to begin to develop and then increase in the overnight and early morning hours from Virginia up through I-95, D.C., Philly, New York, Albany, up through Providence and Boston. Rain could be heavy at times, lightning a little bit midday. Then once that front comes through, everything clears out, but everything turns windy and cold. Temperatures will feel like minus 2 in Duluth, 22 in Cincinnati. These temps a good 10 to 15 degrees below average. David.
All right, Rob Marciano, great to have you as always. Thank you, Rob. We're going to turn now to the economy, and we do have news tonight on jobs and on gas prices. The new numbers tonight, employers adding 263,000 new jobs last month, unemployment unchanged at 3.7%, wages inching up, and President Biden signing that bill to avert a catastrophic rail strike, welcoming the good news on jobs and on gas prices, what they're now predicting on gas by Christmas. Mary Bruce at the White House.
Okay.
President Biden today signing a bill to avert what could have been a catastrophic rail strike.
Rail shutdown would have devastated our economy. Without freight rail, many of the U.S. industries would literally shut down.
But the president acknowledging it falls short of what many rail workers are demanding, paid sick leave.
I know this bill doesn't have paid sick leave that these rail workers and, frankly, every worker in America deserves. But that fight isn't over.
Still, Biden praised the bill for avoiding a potential disaster as he welcomed more positive economic news. The cost of gasoline, now $3.47 a gallon, that's the lowest it's been since February, before Russia invaded Ukraine and set off a global energy crisis. Some experts now predicting Americans could see prices below $3 a gallon before the holidays, an unexpected gift. The latest jobs report also better than expected, with the U.S. adding 263,000 jobs in November, driven by gains in leisure, hospitality, healthcare, and government. Wages are up too, 0.6% for the month, double the estimate.
Wages for working families, I want to say this again, wages for working families, in fact, over the last couple months have gone up, up.
But economists are warning that may not be a good thing when it comes to inflation. When wages go up, inflation could as well.
All right, so let's drill down on this with Mary Bruce tonight, live at the White House. You have the good news there on gas prices, decent jobs numbers as well, but it's always still a complicated picture on the economy. You've got increased hiring, increasing wages, and that often continues to fuel the inflation.
Yeah, David, this report is a bit of a double-edged sword. Wages are going up, and that is certainly a good thing, but if they continue to go up, then prices could also go up as well, and that means that the Fed is likely to continue down this path of raising interest rates, which could make it more expensive to borrow. David.
Mary Bruce tonight. Mary, thank you. We turn now to those chilling images from Austin, Texas. Newly released body camera video tonight showing the moment a police officer opens fire, killing a man carrying an assault rifle in Austin. Security video showing the man firing into a home, and police say he ignored the officer's demand to drop his weapon. ABC's Maria Villarreal from Texas with the video tonight, and we warn you, it is disturbing.
Tonight, new body camera video shows the moments Austin police fatally shot Raj Munsingi.
Draw the gun!
It happened on the night of November 15th. Police responding to a 911 call reporting an armed man walking around a home, describing him as paranoid. Security camera footage showing Raj Munsingi at one point pointing an assault-style rifle toward the home.
Yeah. You want this?
Before firing. That's right, when police arrive, and almost immediately, Officer Daniel Sanchez opens fire.
I'm on you. Draw the gun!
Police rendering aid, but Munsingi died at the hospital. His family says the killing was an unjustified murder. In a statement saying the video clearly shows that Raj never threatened the officers. He didn't even know they were there.
Austin police did release that video earlier today. They are continuing their investigation. And David, they say right now that officer is on administrative leave.
All right, Maria Villarreal tonight. Maria, thank you. We turn now to the deadly rogue wave slamming into that cruise ship as it headed back to Argentina, killing an American woman and injuring four others. Tonight, passengers described the fear as that wall of water struck with no warning. Here's Will Carr.
Tonight, these images revealing the aftermath of a frightening scene aboard an Antarctic cruise. A deadly rogue wave slamming into the Viking Polaris Tuesday night, killing one and injuring four. Argentine authorities telling the Associated Press a 62-year-old American woman did not survive. This video showing the turbulent sea conditions in the hours before that wave struck. Beverly Spiker and her husband Rick were staying in a cabin on the third deck when the wave hit.
We heard it smash against our window and a lot of water came shooting in.
Spiker says other passengers in the rooms below hers recounted being swept out of their beds by the water and having the walls collapse around them. The ship was sailing towards Argentina, making its way through Drake Passage when the wave hit. That passage, the gateway to the Antarctic and one of the world's roughest waterways.
It almost felt like a rocket had hit the ship.
Alexandra Pearson on vacation with her dad. They're both okay tonight, telling me.
I'm still a little shook up, and I had a nightmare last night and woke up and was like, where's my dad?
Tonight, some passengers are now in hotels. Others are still on that ship trying to salvage what's left of their trips. It comes as we've received a statement from Viking. They're offering their sympathies and any help for people to return travel who are still on board. David.
All right, Will Carr tonight. Thank you, Will. This evening, yet another new and disturbing message from Kanye West and why this time even President Biden is now stepping in, fiercely denouncing it, along with the alarming rise in anti-Semitism in this country. What was said and what the president is now calling on leaders of both parties to do. John Carl in Washington.
President Biden today condemned the anti-Semitic rants of Kanye West, and he's calling on other leaders to do the same, tweeting, "The Holocaust happened, Hitler was a demonic figure, and instead of giving it a platform, our political leaders should be calling out and rejecting anti-Semitism wherever it hides. Silence is complicity." The president's tweet came after another torrent of anti-Semitic actions by West, who went so far as to praise Adolf Hitler in an interview with fringe right-wing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes, a notorious white supremacist and Holocaust denier. West then tweeted an image of a swastika within a Star of David, prompting Twitter to suspend his account for a second time. Elon Musk tweeting that West, quote, "violated our rule against incitement to violence." Just weeks ago, West and Fuentes dined with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. Trump has yet to condemn the hateful and anti-Semitic views of either man. Republican Party Chair Ronna McDaniel called West's latest remarks abhorrent, tweeting there is no place for Kanye, Fuentes, or their views inside the Republican Party. McDaniel, however, has not criticized Trump for welcoming the two of them at Mar-a-Lago. The Anti-Defamation League warns anti-Semitic incidents surged to an all-time high last year. More than 2,700 cases of assault, harassment, and vandalism, up 34% from the year before.
Time and time again, we have seen how the normalization of anti-Semitic tropes and conspiracies and hatred can animate people to action.
For his part, Donald Trump, who right now is the only declared Republican candidate for president in 2024, has not expressed one hint of regret for his dinner with Kanye West at Mar-a-Lago since he initially responded to the controversy by noting that West had said nice things about him and asked, "Why wouldn't I agree to meet?" David?
Jonathan Carl on a Friday night. Thank you, John. Overseas tonight into the war in Ukraine. Tonight, Russia's new attacks leaving Ukrainians in the dark and in the cold. And tonight, 24 hours after President Biden said he would be willing to talk with Vladimir Putin under certain conditions if Russia is ready to end the war. Well, tonight, the Kremlin's response. Marcus Moore in Ukraine.
Tonight, a new round of Russian airstrikes in eastern Ukraine, obliterating an apartment block in the Kharkiv region. This man conceding, "It is hard to stay alive here." As the war grinds into a bloody stalemate in the east, relentless Russian strikes have crippled the country's power grid. In the southern city of Kherson, heartbreaking images of civilians fleeing the bombardment. Some people there forced to chop wood to cook their food. This woman calling the Russians beasts. May Putin die with them, she says. And in Ukrainian-controlled Odessa, a disturbing video now circulating online. Police say they stopped a car at the state emergency services headquarters, finding explosives in the trunk. A man then detonating a grenade, sources say, as they tried to detain him. Five police officers and two civilians were hurt. The man's motive not yet revealed. As the war rages, the Kremlin today claiming Vladimir Putin was open to peace talks less than 24 hours after President Biden said he was too, if Putin was serious about ending the war and pulling out his troops. But the Kremlin today quickly rejecting those conditions.
David, tonight another major headline. U.S. officials confirmed to ABC News that the U.S. is considering expanding training to large numbers of Ukrainian troops in battlefield tactics. This training would happen in Germany, and as you know, to this point, U.S. training has been limited to small groups of Ukrainians who are working with advanced U.S. weapons systems. David?
Marcus Moore in Ukraine tonight. Thank you, Marcus. And back here in the U.S. tonight, the tour continues. Prince William and Princess Catherine in Boston. The images all day today. President Biden meeting with the prince on the waterfront outside the JFK Library. And Prince William welcomed to the library by Ambassador Caroline Kennedy and two of her children, Tatiana and Jack Kennedy Schlossberg. ABC's Trevor Ulp in Boston tonight.
Good to see you again.
Tonight, President Biden greeting Prince William at the JFK Library in Boston on day three of the royal visit to America. Meanwhile, Princess Catherine cheered on her first solo engagement of this royal tour, visiting the Center on the Developing Child at Harvard. Earlier, the prince meeting other American royalty, Ambassador Caroline Kennedy and two of her children, Tatiana and Jack Schlossberg. William says his Earthshot initiative to stop climate change was inspired by Caroline's father, President John F. Kennedy's moonshot. The Wales is rounding out their trip with tonight's prize ceremony, but the event and the royal couple's first trip to the U.S. since 2014 somewhat overshadowed by controversy at home over accusations of racism by Prince William's godmother at a recent event.
When the stakes are this high, doesn't it make more sense to hear our story from us?
And the release of this trailer promoting Harry and Meghan's intimate Netflix documentary, with critics suggesting the timing was deliberate to coincide with William and Catherine's tour.
But despite the controversy, tonight's event pressing forward with enthusiasm, remnants of the green carpet behind me and millions of dollars now going toward fighting climate change. The royals will now head back to the UK, David.
Trevor Ault in Boston again tonight. Thank you, Trevor. In Georgia tonight, the long lines all day today as early voting comes to an end this evening in that high-stakes runoff in the race for senator. Former President Obama helping to make the closing argument for Democrat Raphael Warnock. Republican Herschel Walker endorsed by popular Governor Brian Kemp, who was just reelected. But Walker has kept a lower profile, not taking questions. Long lines to vote in DeKalb County today, despite the state's new election law reducing the number of early voting days. Turnout still breaking records. Tuesday, of course, is Election Day. Tonight, the big change coming, the Democratic Party moving to reorder the primary calendar for 2024, tentatively accepting a proposal from President Biden. The party would no longer hold caucuses because they believe they are too time-consuming, bumping Iowa from that first coveted spot. And the first primary would be in South Carolina instead, followed by Nevada and New Hampshire, then Georgia and Michigan. Democrats have long criticized the current schedule as favoring smaller states and putting too much focus on regions that they say don't reflect America's diversity. When we come back on this Friday night, the major news on the flu this evening, and this is eye-opening, what they're seeing across the country and what they're now warning. And the big headline tonight involving Team USA and their opponent tomorrow in the World Cup. Will it make a difference?
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, the CDC is now warning that cases of the flu are soaring across the U.S. 44 states, several large cities, New York City, Washington, D.C., along with Puerto Rico tonight, reporting high or very high levels of flu-like activity. Nearly 9 million cases reported so far, hospitalizations nearly doubling since just last week. At this point in the season, the hospitalization rate is the highest in more than a decade. The CDC urging people 6 months and older to make sure you get the flu shot. The Air Force tonight unveiling its new stealth bomber, America getting its first look at the long-range B-21 Raider, the first new bomber in more than 30 years. It is seen partially as the Pentagon's answer to rising concerns over a possible conflict with China. It can deliver conventional and nuclear weapons while flying undetected, its development shrouded in secrecy. The first flight test expected in mid-2023, and the first images expected to be revealed later tonight. To the index and a passing the note tonight, former NFL player turned actor Brad Henke has died. Best known for his role in Orange is the New Black, football fans may remember him as a defensive lineman for the Denver Broncos. Brad Henke was 56. Tonight, America's newest citizens already serving their country. 18 active Marines today sworn in as U.S. citizens during a ceremony on board the retired battleship USS North Carolina in Wilmington. They all belong to the 1st Battalion, 8th Marines out of Camp Lejeune, coming from 14 countries on five continents, one of the largest naturalization ceremonies ever for Marine Corps Infantry Battalion. Finally tonight here, go Team USA, the big World Cup showdown tomorrow. Tonight, Team USA just hours away from their high-stakes match at the World Cup. The United States men's national team taking the field for practice today.
You know we want purpose.
Their star player, 24-year-old Christian Pulisic, right there. Injured scoring that game-winning goal against Iran earlier this week. Suffering a pelvic contusion while scoring the goal. Rushed to the hospital, saying he nervously watched the rest of the game on his phone in the ambulance. Tonight, out of the hospital and cleared to play.
I'm going to make sure that however long I can be out on that field, I'll be out there giving my 110% no matter what, because I owe it to this game, I owe it to this team, I owe it to the country back home, and I'm going to do everything I can.
The U.S. facing off against the Netherlands tomorrow morning, and that team, we've learned, has been hit with a flu outbreak, canceling practice today. A win would advance Team USA to the quarterfinals for only the third time in history. Christian Pulisic and team captain Tyler Adams, just toddlers the last time that happened back in 2002. Tyler, raised by his mother, Melissa Russo, in upstate New York. He credits his mother and his stepfather for his success.
All right, this picture here.
His stepdad and social studies teacher, Daryl Sullivan, with Tyler's high school yearbook from Wappingers Falls, New York, saying the school, the community, everyone cheering Tyler on.
When it comes to game times, tell him good luck, I love you. And everyone here, whether it's in his family, in the school, in the community, in the country, is there right with him.
The team captain ready and grateful for the support back home.
We're just trying to make everyone back at home proud. You know, the support has been amazing. You know, we love the country, we love repping it, and we're gonna do everything we can to bring this thing home.
You've made us proud already. I'm David Muir. Go Team USA, and I'll see you on Monday. Good night.